Well, we're going to be going over to Romans chapter 11 this morning, if you have a Bible with you. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Okay, brother, you get these folks a Bible here. We'll make sure you have one. Romans chapter 11. It is, of course, right after the book of Acts in your Bible. And we're going to be looking at a very important text. Now, I'm going to have to tell you right off the top, this is a little meaty today. And some of the things we're going to say, I'm going to try to slow it all down, real slow, and try to explain everything we can. My wife says I go too fast, but I want you to understand, doesn't do any good today if we're going to teach the Word of God, and I teach something that you don't get, right? Right? If you're a teacher, you just don't want to stand up in front of your classroom and teach. You want them to leave having learned the things that you've taught. So I'm going to slow it down today, and if it takes 2 or 3 weeks to get through this, we'll take 2 or 3 weeks to get through it. Now let's lay a little foundation here. We're going to look at Romans chapter 11, which is a warning text. It's a warning to two groups of people. First of all, it's a warning to the church, and it's a warning to individual believers or the priesthood of the believer. Now, we want to go back to Romans chapter 9 to lay the foundation. We've looked at this in the last few weeks. But it's talking about an elect group there in Romans chapter 9, which is the nation of Israel. And God says in Romans chapter 9 that everyone who is born out of the genealogy of Abraham is not necessarily what God defines as Israel. Simply because you are a descendant of Abraham doesn't make you necessarily part of the nation of Israel. But it says, they who are of Israel are they who are of the promise. Now, we've explained that in the last few weeks, but I want to explain it again this morning so you make sure you have it. The promise, anytime you see the promise in the scripture, it's talking about the Abrahamic covenant. Abrahamic covenant in the Bible is what is known as being saved by grace, through faith. By what? Grace. By grace through faith. Grace means you didn't deserve it. You haven't earned it. It's a gift. So in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, when God says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by works. We're not saved in any way. Does our good works contribute to our salvation? If you think it does, you're not saved. If you think your good works contribute to your salvation, you're not saved. You haven't put your faith in the promise. And that promise of the Abrahamic covenant is the promise of the coming one, the promised one. Galatians 3:16, the seed which is Christ. Now, in the Abrahamic covenant, let me explain it to you a little bit. In the Abrahamic covenant, the issue was that God had provided, Abraham had brought sacrifices, animal sacrifices. Whole cows, sheep, they'd been cut in half, and they'd been laid, one half of the animal and one half of the animal on this side. And as a person made a covenant, the person making a covenant with the other person, they would essentially agree that whatever happens to the animals would happen to them if they broke the covenant. Get that one out? So the animals had been what? They had been sacrificed. Had already been killed. But before God initiates the Abrahamic covenant, what's he do with Abraham? He puts him to sleep. So Abraham and God did not pass through the center of those sacrifices, that which is what they would have done in the covenant. The two parties would have passed through those animals, and whatever had happened to the animals, if they broke covenant, what happened to them? But God didn't pass through the animals with Abraham. Abraham was put to sleep. And a burning cauldron appeared, and God in the burning cauldron passed through the animals. That burning cauldron is typified of Jesus Christ. And in the passing of God in the burning cauldron between those animals. The animals were literally consumed. The animals portray your sin. The burning cauldron portray the satisfaction of the wrath of God upon sin. So it is a covenant between the Father and with the Son who passed through those animals, and the sin was consumed. Now, that's a hallelujah truth if you get it, because that was your sin. What that means is, in the typification of the Abrahamic covenant, every sin that anyone who trusts in that covenant, every sin you ever commit, past, present, and future, God's wrath has already been satisfied and been put upon the burning cauldron. That's the judgment of God. All of that Abrahamic covenant is a portrayal of the cross of Jesus Christ. So, in Romans chapter 9, it says, not all they who are Israel are they are of Israel. All those who are descendants of Abraham. But they who are of the promise. Abraham entered into that Abrahamic covenant by grace through faith. The covenant was provided by grace, right? God provided it. It was a gift to Abraham. Abraham, by grace, received that gift and entered into that covenant through faith. And Abraham, it says, his faith was counted for righteousness. Now, last week we talked about Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is to correct the problem of what happened in Israel. The Jewish priesthood had now made salvation not in the Abrahamic covenant, which portrayed the cross, but they made salvation in the Mosaic covenant, in keeping the commandments, offering sacrifices or sacraments, all of those things. They had corrupted the law in its purpose. The law was added to the Mosaic covenant because of transgressions. So God wanted to show saved people what sin was. And so he added the law. But the law was not another condition for salvation. Salvation was a gift in the promised one. It was still by grace through faith. Not by grace and now by grace through faith plus works. That was the corruption that God had to correct. So in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul addresses that issue. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is what? That they might be saved. Were they saved? Well, no. Were they part and descendants of Abraham? Well, yeah. Were they a part of the elect nation Israel? Well, to some degree. But they weren't saved. So Paul goes on and he says, what was the problem? They, the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness, God kind righteousness, went about to establish what? Their own righteousness. How'd they do that? By keeping the law. They thought, well, if we be good enough, we'll earn favor with God, and God will show us favor, and we'll enter into the kingdom. Paul says, no, no. They were what? Ignorant of God's kind righteousness. In order for you to go to heaven, you have to be as righteous as God is. Not as righteous as I am. By the way, if you think you need to be as righteous as I am, you're not setting your standards very high. I'm a sinner saved by grace, just like any other sinner. We're just... only difference is we've been saved, born again, and trying to live for the Lord. But the issue here of Romans chapter 10, Paul says, no, 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 you can't be saved that way. You have to repent of that. You must, of course, believe the gospel that God has been propitiated, or his wrath has been satisfied in the righteousness of God given to you in the gift of salvation. See, that's a gift. Now, how many of you think right now, if you started, let's say, I'm going to repent of sin, and right now you start and work as hard as you could be as righteous as God is. Some of you are chuckling a little bit. Probably because you tried that already. Now, how you doing? You see, you can't be ever be as righteous as God is. That's why the gift of salvation is the gift of God's kind righteousness. That's justification. God giving you his righteousness in the person of the indwelling Spirit of God. You can't receive that by works. You can't receive it through some sacrament. How do you receive it? By grace, through faith. By grace, through faith. You believe. You confess Jesus to be Lord. You call upon his name to save you. And you receive the indwelling Holy Spirit. All of that scripture. There's scripture for every one of those verbs that we find. But it's a gift. No, that's Romans chapter 10. He says you can't be saved by works. You can't be righteous enough to get into heaven. You'll never make it. You try that all you want. But that was a great corruption of the nation of Israel. That was a great corruption of the priesthood of Israel. And it's a great corruption of modern day Christianity, who since Augustine has been corrupting the church with the same kind of false doctrine. Who said, well, yeah, it's salvation by grace plus works. It's salvation by grace plus nothing. Or you have corrupted the gospel. It's all of what Jesus has done and nothing of what you've done, or you stay lost in your sins. Look, there's whole books of the Bible that are written to correct that. The whole book of Hebrews is written to correct that corruption. The whole book of Galatians is written to correct that corruption. The whole book of Colossians is written to correct that corruption. But yet it continues. So we're going to come here to Romans chapter 11. We're going to look at this a little bit. It's the warnings to the remnant according to the election of grace. And we're just giving you the introduction. We're not even in the sermon yet. That's the introduction. Romans 11:5. Here's what it says. Even so then. Now this then is an important word in your text. Even so then. Otherwise now, all the things that precede this. This is one of the conclusive statements. This is a then. Otherwise this is a. Okay, all of this, now then, this. So even then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now what's he talking about? The Abrahamic covenant. That is, all these people who are saved by grace through faith. The remnant of the seed of Abraham is this. It's born-again Jews who have trusted in Jesus according to Romans 10:1-13. Paul was part of this remnant. The remainder, the reminder of Romans 11:1-6 is that salvation is by grace. This refers to the Abrahamic covenant. Now, you're not saved by the works of the law. Now you say, how can you know that? How can you know that? Well, let me give you a verse of scripture. Are you ready? You're saved by the Mosaic Covenant. You're saved by sacraments. You're saved by sacrifices. You're saved by what some priest says to you. Here's what Paul says this. He says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the works of the law is the knowledge of sin. We say, Pastor, you know that verse by heart. I could quote another 20 verses just like it by heart. Because there's another 20 verses that says exactly the same thing. It's known as the doctrine of redundancy. Otherwise, God says the same thing in many different places over and over again. Why does he need to say that? Because we are dull of hearing. Because we won't get it. God has said this over and over again in the Old Testament. But at the same time, why did he have to say it over and over again? Because it was corrupted from the top down. The priesthood corrupted it. And so, generation after generation after generation, we're hearing the same thing. Have you ever questioned your foundational beliefs? Your authoritarian beliefs? Or do you just believe what you believe because somebody told you that's what you're supposed to believe? Have you ever actually looked in the Bible and see what God has said? We say, well, everybody thinks they're right. Yeah. But when you sit right down and examine the scriptures, we can't all be right if we hold to different beliefs. Is God the author of confusion? Go like this. Well, God's not the author of confusion. He's given us some pretty specific instructions. In fact, what makes it difficult is because Satan is the author of confusion. And we got to wade through all of the confusion sometimes to push it aside in order to find the truth. So the importance of the reminder is that salvation is a gift of grace through faith. That's what we see in Romans chapter 11, verse 5. Also, the remnant is defined as a people who have been solely saved by grace through faith. And if a person claims salvation by any other means than by grace through faith, such a person is not one of the remnant. That's a warning of Romans chapter 11. It's a warning primarily to now the church is going to be grafted into the wild olive tree, which is Israel, after God had already cast away the priesthood of Israel, not his people. This is a primary warning of the text. And just as national Israel drifted away from salvation by grace through faith, get this, the church is equally susceptible to such corruption. That's what Romans chapter 11 says. Did the church heed this warning? No. That's why Paul says there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is a very small group of people who are true believers, who have rejected the works of the law and have come to trust only in the gift of salvation offered by grace through faith. The gift of salvation is every sin you've ever committed, having been satisfied, the wrath upon that sin having been satisfied through the death of Christ. Get that one now? The second gift of salvation is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God-kind righteousness given to you as a gift. You say, that seems so simple. Yeah, it is. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's so wonderful. Now I invite you to stand, if you're able, Romans 11, 1 through 6. We'll read this text and have a word of prayer, and then we'll give you the rest of the 15-minute sermon. Paul says, I say then, okay, then, that's a foundation of everything that's already been said in chapter 9 and 10. Hath God cast away his people? That's the nation of Israel. What's the answer? God forbid. How could God break his promise? He says, God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not when the scripture saith of Elias, that's Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and kicked down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God to him? What did God say to Elijah when he was having a pity party? God said, I have reserved to me 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Now look at verse 5. What's the first two words? Even so. Even so, then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There are still a faithful few. Still a faithful few, according to the election, the choosing of God's grace. Now he's talking about a priesthood. And he's talking about believers, the priesthood of every believer. Every person in this room who is born again of the Spirit of God is a priest in the eyes of God. There is no division in the body of Christ between clergy and laity. That is a corruption of Reformed theology, which is not Reformed anything, by the way, but it's a corruption. You and I are equally obligated for the work of the ministry. He says in verse 6, and if by grace, the Abrahamic covenant, then it is no more of works, the Mosaic covenant. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, the Mosaic covenant, then it is no more grace, the Abrahamic covenant. Otherwise, work is no more work. Otherwise, it's either a gift or it's not. It's either a gift or you earn it. But the point is, God says it's a gift. And if you're trying to earn it, now listen, if you're trying to earn it, you are offending the holiness of a holy God who somehow you think that you can be as good as he wants you to be. Or is he as good as he needs you to be instead of him giving you his righteousness as a gift? Our Father, as we bow before you this morning, we're thankful for this text. And I apologize, Father, for how I must labor in it and belabor it with my stammering tongue. And Father, I pray for any here today who needs Christ, who need to be born again. Lord, that your Spirit would give them understanding, prick their heart, and give them conviction. I trust, Lord, that you and you alone will do what you can only do, is bring people to understand their need of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. The answer, God forbid, is from a Greek phrase in the original languages that is meganomene. Literally, the phrase means absolutely not caused to be. Otherwise, God has not cast away his people. Absolutely not. So the notion that such a proposition as God cast away his people is utterly preposterous. Yet the vast majority of professing Christians believe exactly that God has cast away the nation of Israel and replaced it with a church, a state church. What does God's word say? Absolutely not. God's not pulling any punches. This isn't a maybe kind of thing. This is a radical corruption of biblical truth. You say, well, preacher, you're being pretty narrow. Yeah, I'm just trying to be as narrow as God is. That's all I'm trying to be. You want to get upset about it? You get upset with God about it. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. That's my job. I'm just here to teach the truth. That means throw the rotten apples at me, throw whatever you want. I'm still going to preach the truth. I'm still going to tell you just what God said. That's my job. So the notion that such a proposition is utterly preposterous. The evidence as well contradicts such a proposition. Paul is one of the 12 Jewish apostles. It tells us in Philippians 3:5, was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He not only was born descendant of Abraham, he still spoke in a Greek culture, the Hebrew language. That's what the phrase Hebrew of Hebrews means. He was still a Hebrew-speaking Jew. All 12 Jewish apostles were the foundations of a new remnant that began the church age, Ephesians 2:20. They were all Jews. The about 3,000 souls that were saved on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2:41, they were all Jews. Saved Jews. According to Acts 4:4, another 5,000 Jews trusted Christ and were born again. They were all Jews. The number of Jews trusting Christ after his resurrection, after apostles explained the gospel, ballooned exponentially in the weeks and years following. My grandmother was a Jew, born again of the Spirit of God. I'm a Jew, born again of the Spirit of God. I believe and trust in the gift of salvation offered in Jesus Christ. Look over Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 with me. Philippians chapter 3. It'll be up here on the screen for you if you can read that. It's a little bright in here today. A little difficult to read. Philippians 3 verse 4. Paul is talking about this remnant of Jews. He being a remnant, part of the remnant of grace. Grace what? Abrahamic covenant. When you see grace in the Bible for salvation, talking about what? Abrahamic covenant. Grace is what? Grace is what? Abrahamic covenant. Otherwise, it is provided as a gift. It is received through faith. Abrahamic covenant. He says, though I, he's talking about Paul, might also have confidence in the flesh. Otherwise, if there was anybody who could trust in their works for salvation, he says, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now he tells us why. He was circumcised the eighth day, just exactly the way the law said. He was of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Otherwise, he was born of the tribe of Benjamin, not of the 10 northern tribes, which had become apostate and had gone into idolatry. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, the inner circle of the tribe of Judah. The Judah and Benjamin were the two southern tribes around the temple. He says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. As a Jew, he persecuted Christians. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. At least according to the Mishnah, the definition of that. Not according to Matthew chapter 5. Remember what Christ said in Matthew chapter 5? He's saying this primarily to Jewish believers, and he is saying, you said that if you commit adultery, that's a bad thing. He said, but if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. He raises the bar on every one of them, because they thought as long as they didn't commit an act of adultery, they were okay. But no. Christ raises the bar. He said, now verse 7, but what things were gained to me, otherwise this put me up in status in the Jewish ranks. I was going to be a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling 70 of Israel. I was right there. I was just getting ready to enter into that new position. He says, that thing would gave me prominence. Those things I counted lost. For what? For Christ. He counted what? He counted them loss. Ye doubtless, he's going to explain what that means. Ye doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Why is it that people hang on to their works? Why is it they hang on to their sacraments? Why is it they hang on to their church membership as a means of their salvation? Why do they hang on to all of those things so tenaciously and won't let them go when the gospel is so obvious? Well, that's what they're resting in. You ever have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning? You're comfortable. Covers are pulled up to your chin. You're warm. Right? There's no threat there in that little place. Windows are fairly closed. Thunder and lightning going on outside. You're safe. Okay? But if you're trusting in works, the basement's on fire. And it will eventually reach you. You better get out of that place of comfort, because it's not really what it promises at all. And that's a great deception of Satan, is he wants to give you some kind of comfort in false hopes. Because what you have, what you call faith, is not faith at all. It's not faith at all. You're not. It's not by grace through faith. Faith is trusting totally and resting completely in what Jesus Christ did. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things. Do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Look at verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but what? but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is the gift of God by faith. The righteousness which is of God by faith. He's talking about the gift of God by faith. That's a righteousness you can have. Now, I hope that you understand that my desire here is to help you. I can't bring my Bible out and beat you over the head with it. Sometimes I'd like to do that, but it doesn't do any good, does it? So I come to you, and I open up the scriptures, and I try to explain them as simply as I can. And then I make an appeal. And that appeal is, would you be willing to repent of what you have falsely believed in to come and put your faith in something that is real? And what God has said. Are you willing to repent of stop trusting in what men have said and start trusting in what God has said? Repent. Repent of your dead works. Repent of the trust in your sacraments. Repent in your being a church member and thinking that somehow that's going to get you somewhere closer to heaven. Stop trusting in men, including this one, and start trusting in the Word of God. I didn't write this book. Did you hear that now? I didn't write this book. I'm just a messenger boy. That's all I am. I don't put myself up on any kind of pedestal. I'm just a messenger boy. That's all I am. I'm trying to tell you what God said. And I appeal to you. Trust in what God said. Because a vast majority of religion has gone south. They've corrupted what the Word of God says. I've just given you one little portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to this one. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. I don't care what other name you want to put in there. Not your name or anybody else's name, just the name of Jesus. The only way you can be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No other way. You're trusting in something else. You're trusting something that won't get you there. I used this illustration last week. I'll use it again in closing. Let's say you want to get to Minneapolis tomorrow. And there's a train that's going, sitting at the station. And so you want to go to Minneapolis and you go get on that train. And you're on that train and someone comes along and says, could I have your ticket, please? And you say, well, I don't really have a ticket. Well, where are you trying to go? Well, I'm trying to go to Minneapolis. Well, this train goes to New Ulm. But somebody told me this train goes to Minneapolis. And then the conductor says, okay, as long as somebody told you that that's where this train is going, that's okay then. It'll get you there, right? You're all shaking your head. No. You got to get on the right train. If you want to get to the destiny you're going, you want to get to heaven, you got to get on the right train. It's by grace through faith. Not by grace through faith plus works. If you're on that train, you won't get to the destination you're hoping to. And you'll then stand before God one day and he will say to you, you'll say to him, Lord, we've done many wonderful works. We've cast out demons in your name. And then Jesus said, I will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Why? They got on the wrong train. Get on the right train today. I don't care. You say, well, that's a little embarrassing. I've trusted in the wrong thing all my life. So did I. By the way, look around you. See the other people here? Almost every person in this room at one time trusted in the wrong thing. And we've all gotten off that train and got on the right train. See, it's not enough just to say, okay, I'm on the wrong train. You got to actually repent. You got to get off that wrong train. You got to get on the right train. That's you're here today, and that's you. You say, that's me. We want to help you. We're not here to condemn you. We're trying to help you. We want to help you get on the right train.